Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. 7 minutes after the hour. It's my pleasure to be with you, and you get a chance to call into the show. Tell the whole country what's on your mind. Don't forget, every First Amendment Friday, we let you comment on anything. The rest of the week, I kind of set the agenda. Our telephone number, toll-free and nationwide, is 866-509-5277. That's 866-509-LARS, or you can send emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. I don't know if you get the chance to hear it, but we have a different kind of character with this show. We'll talk about the president's State of the Union address and about whether or not his plan in Iraq should be given a chance to work. We'll talk to Presidential Press Secretary Tony Snow about what the president had to say. Brad Friedman, who hails from the extreme far left of the political spectrum, will join us a little bit later on this hour to talk about the State of the Union address and about the president's amnesty plan. You know, Michelle Malkin has written some brilliant things about that. One of the great tragedies for this show is that Michelle has become so busy and so in demand to the cable channels and other places that she's simply not available much anymore. But she's written what I consider an absolutely drop-dead brilliant piece that anticipates what the president is going to do to sell out America. And I say that as a conservative. I voted for the president. I believe in a lot of what he does, but he is going to sell out America when it comes to amnesty for illegal aliens.
Now, more of Lars.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to have you on board. 866-509-5277. If you'd like to join the conversation, send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And we haven't talked to him in a long, long time, but the day after the State of the Union is a perfect time to talk to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. How are you doing, Brad?
Hey, Lars, doing all right. Can barely hear you, though.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. We'll see if we can get the engineers working
That's
on that.
That's better.
Get the gremlins out of the system. How is the new year treating Brad Blog and Brad Friedman?
Well, I think things are going well enough, as much as they can be, in this mess that the country and the world seem to be in.
The mess? I mean, yeah. Iraq is not the system we'd like to be in, but I'm trying to imagine how you describe the country in a mess. We've got, let's see, record low unemployment, low mortgage rates, low inflation, relatively low oil costs right now, reasonable gasoline costs, unemployment at, 4.5%? That's a mess?
Well, the American people seem to think so. They booted out all the Republicans, installed Democrats into both houses of Congress. And sure, we have a mess. The domestic issue is one thing. It doesn't obviously is not translating to the common man, at least as they believe and as the polls show. And meanwhile, Iraq and everywhere else in the world is blowing up due to this just unbelievably incompetent and unorganized foreign policy by George W. Bush.
Iraq and everywhere else in the world. You know, Brad, you just throw out the – you're throwing out the chum. You're going to get me just champing at the bit.
Iraq, I want to make it fun for you, Lars.
Well, it is. North Korea is blown up.
North Korea is now, as you know, far ahead of where it was when Bush came into office. They've been developing nuclear weapons, we're told. We have no real policy out there. Foreign policy experts have condemned Bush's policy and lack of willingness to speak to either them or Iran or Syria.
Hold on. We've had six-party talks, haven't we?
We've invited
all the players in the region.
We
and
do
us.
Every now and again. But clearly, and those should obviously continue, but clearly, what they would like is to speak to the United States. Now, remember, during the worst, as many people have spoken about lately, during the worst of the Cold War, we even had an embassy in the USSR. So we were always keeping dialogue open. We were always trying to figure out how to avoid points where you've got these guys setting off bombs in order to get the world's attention. That's certainly not where we want to be, is it, Lars?
They managed to set off one bomb, Brad, and it was kind of a fizzle from what I understand.
Well, I don't think it would be a fizzle if they gave that, as Bush likes to say, to a terrorist and set it off in Valencia, as they did on 24 the other night. So I don't think that would be a fizzle. They didn't have nuclear weapons along those lines prior to the Bush administration, and they've been woefully inadequate in their diplomacy around the world.
How did they get a hold of those nuclear reactors that were installed that allowed them to accumulate the material for those weapons? How exactly did they get a hold of those in the 1990s, Brad? Do you remember?
Well, you can go ahead and talk about it, and I'll
Bill Clinton cut a deal with them and said, "Will you promise to be good, North Korea?" And North Korea said, "Sure, we'll promise to be good." And Bill said, "We'll give you a reactor then." And we gave them reactors.
Well, I don't know that we gave them a reactor, but we certainly had monitors in there, inspectors in there. We were able to keep an eye on what they were doing. And we simply pulled out, as of the Bush regime coming in, pulled out all over the world, including from Israel and Palestine, as you know, until 9/11, and they realized the folly of that policy. Well, we seem to be in similar disarray today. And, you know, this is not just, I heard you introduce me earlier as being on the far, far left or something silly like that. Fact of the matter is, you know, you've got folks, Republicans, people who are now former Republicans, condemning this George W. Bush for what is an atrocious foreign policy that we're going to be having to clean up now for years to come, clearly.
What did you think of last night's State of the Union address?
You know, fine. He didn't fall over. He said all the words from beginning to end, except for I noticed he had, oddly enough, at the end of the speech, a line in there, "See you next year," which was interesting to have in a State of the Union address, and I noticed he cut it out at the very end. Don't know what to make of that, but I found it interesting. My biggest concern last night was pointed up by the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America that for the second year in a row now, Bush failed to mention one word about the new 1.6 million new American veterans. You know, it's they're going through all sorts of horrors. As they pointed out, he likes to use the troops for props, but he has been less than supportive of those folks who have put their lives on the line for America.
Brad. When you say things like that, I'm tempted to mention that in the last 6 years, funding for the Veterans Administration, federal funding, has gone up 55%. So if we use the tail end of the Clinton administration as the high water mark of the 90s, when President Bush came in, from that point forward, Veterans Administration funding has gone up 55%. That doesn't seem like nothing to me.
Well, I'll tell you what. He didn't find it important enough to mention in his speech last night or the year before. I talk to veterans all the time. They're furious about this, and I suspect the needs of the VA hospital have gone up well more than 55%, given the thousands and thousands of troops we now have coming home maimed, disabled, losing limbs, suffering from PTSD. And they're the ones who I'm listening to, and the troops who I support are saying, something needs to be done about funding and veterans.
Every time we talk to the secretary who's in charge of Veterans Affairs, we say to him, you know, are you free to tell us whether you believe that you are being shortchanged resources? He believes he is. And, I mean, he serves at the pleasure of the president, so you can always point to his bosses. We say, are there any places where you are not getting the resources from the president or the Congress, which actually appropriates the money? And he says he is not being shortchanged.
Well, this is the guy who's running the program. What do the troops say? Talk to the troops.
Well,
I mean,
who's going to know more about how the program is running? One individual soldier, because I know that in every hospital system, private or public, Veterans Affairs or community-based, you're going to find people who say, I don't like the way the hospital treated me the last time I was in there. I've even had the experience myself. But if you base whether the system is running well on the experience of one patient, I don't think that's a great litmus test.
Well, that's a good point, but I'm basing it on the opinions of the first and largest Iraq and Afghanistan organization, nonpartisan Iraq and Afghanistan vet organization.
What is that?
IAVA.org. So, you know, you might want to talk to Paul Rykoff. You might want to talk to John Soles of VoteVets.org. They feel differently. Don't talk to one. Of course that would be silly. Talk to as many as you can. I know I do. And for all the rhetoric that this administration has, the way that they've politicized the war and politicized this nonsense about, you know, supporting our troops and that folks who don't agree with every bit of their policy don't support the troops, talk to the troops. Listen to the troops. I've been listening to them for the past 3-4 years on all of this. And the ones that I talk to are very unhappy, and they're not pleased at all with this administration.
We're talking to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll talk more about the President's State of the Union address, and, of course, we'll give Brad a chance to flog his blog when we come back. 16 minutes before the hour, 866-509-5277. Send your emails to talk at LarsLarsen.com.
Lars at 1-866-509-LARS. Plus 866-509-5277.
Welcome back to the Lars Larsen Show. Glad to have you on board, and glad to be talking to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Go ahead, give yourself a plug, Brad, because I always like it when somebody has a good business going.
Well, I appreciate that. You've done a fine job. Bradblog.com, where we're fighting the bad guys of either party, of all parties, any way that we can.
So which Democrats are you fighting?
Well, you know, I cover a lot of issues concerning election integrity, and I'm fighting Democrats on all kinds of fronts on that one. I mean, they've just been some of the worst characters in this entire election integrity fight have been Democrats. This woman, Linda Lamone, election director up in Maryland, Kathy Cox down there in Georgia. And, you know, frankly, and I've been supporting conservatives when you can still find intellectually honest ones out there when they are fighting for election integrity, like the Supreme Court justice down in Texas during the last, primary election down there, who, frankly, got screwed, received in one county, Lars, he received zero votes on the electronic voting machines down there in Texas. So
why don't we go back? I know that you've been fighting the Diebold fight or Diebold fight, whatever you want to call it.
It's Diebold.
Diebold. Why don't we go back to good old reliable paper ballots until we're ready to actually go to something that is reliable, that's electronic?
Can we now get together on that idea, Lars?
No, I've been on it for a long time. In fact,
we're finding common ground here.
That's the thing, is that years ago, when there was a recount on, it was either Patty Murray or the other one, and she was Senate race, they had to hand count it.
Yeah.
They actually had the chance to check in that hand count whether the you know, the little dots that you have to fill in with the number two pencil,
yeah,
were a better system, or the punch, you know, the punch out ones that they used in Florida, where,
yep,
you know, people had a tough time learning how to vote. And they actually found that the little circles are very, very accurate. But,
well, yeah, they not only are they certainly more accurate and more transparent, but we can actually go back and count them if there's any question at all, which you can't do. You know, we're looking at this mess down there right now in Florida, in Sarasota County, where some 18,000 votes have simply disappeared in that election on these paperless touchscreen voting machines made by ES&S, which is actually a bigger company than Diebold. You know, it's outrageous. And you've got, in this case, it was the Republican who is winning by 369 votes, suggesting that his opponent is trying to hijack democracy because she wants, you know, to be able to count the votes and to look at what the heck clearly went wrong down there. If we got rid of these machines, which are all, you know, private, they all use secret software. No one in America actually gets to test that software. If we got rid of that privately owned, privately run electoral system, returned to a piece of paper that any American could verify, boy, would that be an important step for democracy, particularly while we've got this administration running around claiming that they're trying to spread democracy around the world. Back here, it's falling apart, and we really need to do something about it.
Yeah. Of course, when I look around the country, Brad, I see a whole lot more Democrat clerks that are running election systems than I do Republicans. So the partisan charge is kind of falling.
Well, frankly, I don't see that. But even if we do, I don't care. You know, if you can't count the vote, I've said many times, it's not a matter of right and left. This is a matter of right and wrong. If you can't go in there and count those votes and make sure that they were right, look, any good, honest election official will tell you, don't trust me. I shouldn't be trusted. Our system is built on checks and balances and on transparency, not on trust. We've got faith-based voting right now, and we're heading smack dab over a cliff here as we come back to the 2008 presidential elections. using these machines, which were rammed through Congress, make no mistake about it, rammed through Congress, forced on America by Ohio's Bob Ney, who is now in jail for his corruption. So we've got a mess to clean up on our hands. I'm glad to hear that you're calling for paper ballots. We need a paper ballot for every vote cast in America, not a paper trail like they're adding to these touchscreen machines. You know, these touchscreen machines, thousands of people, perhaps millions, were unable to even cast a vote, legally registered voters.
You know, I wish, but you know what I don't get? I almost think that that system is screwed up because even though it was a private company that does this for banks all the time, if banks had this many problems keeping track of the money that people put in and take out of ATMs, they'd go out of business. They would. They'd literally go bankrupt. So, I wonder if some of that problem doesn't come from, you know, having a private company doing it, but having the elections officials say, but it has to do this and it has to do that.
Nobody is saying it has to do anything. That's the problem. You've got these, and I'm sorry to mention this again, but Bush appointees heading up the United States Elections Assistance Commission, the first one resigned and said that it was a joke. The way the White House was treating election reform and the way Congress was, and they have no standards whatsoever. And the fact that if it was a private business, if this was a bank, these companies like Diebold, you know, they would be out of business because we've seen so many studies showing that they simply have no security, period. They'd be sued out of business, for running what is essentially the Ford Pinto of voting machines.
Brad, hold that thought for a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. Let's say goodbye and comment on John Kerry's departure. Stage left. It's 6 minutes before the hour. 866-509-5277. Send emails. Talk at LarsLarson.com.
Lars.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. 3 minutes before the hour, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com is here. I wanted to get your comments on the fact that I kind of got a kick out of it. The voters told John Kerry in 2004 that now was not the time to mount a presidential campaign. And today, John Kerry figured it out all on his own, that 2008 is not a good time to mount a presidential campaign, and he will merely be satisfied to merely be a United States senator and the husband of a rich woman.
Well, I don't know that the voters told him that in 2004. Let me be clear. I didn't vote for John Kerry, but the jury is still out on exactly how America voted in 2004 in Ohio with one of the most crooked Secretary of States and horrible misadministrations of elections I've ever seen. So, you know, that said, I'm not necessarily sorry to see Kerry go. He broke his promise to make sure every vote would be counted in Ohio. But I do think it's a shame the way the right-wing media, what they do to these, the way they swift-boat these guys, the way Kerry was swift-boated over that joke, the way Boxer was swift-boated last week when in her Senate hearings when it was revealed, in fact, that, you know, the White House has made no casualty estimates for this surge in Iraq. So, it would be great if we could get away from that sort of politics and judge these people on the content of their character instead of how we can swift boat and disingenuously spin what they say.
See, we're on the same page, Brad. You're not sorry to see him go either, although I thought he could have been very entertaining during the race. And his wife, boy, she's a hoot. You got the Lars Larson Show on Westwood One.
Lars. Lars. Lars Larson Show of Westwood One.